had come to the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, this mysterious book of the apocalypse that shows in biblical symbolism great, massive world events that are to occur. And in the seventh chapter is that 144,000, that enigmatic number of people that has been claimed as the number of church membership by first one small group, one small cult or sect, and then another. I wish people would quit making that kind of a mistake because, you know, eventually they grow up to be bigger than 144,000 and then they got a problem. But it does show in this chapter, the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, that at the time called the heavenly signs, a time of the halting of all human activity, a time between the great tribulation described in the sixth chapter of Revelation and the day of the Lord that begins to be described in the eighth and on beyond, is coming a time when maybe millions of people are going to simply get on their knees and call out to God and ask Him to forgive them and to give them of His Holy Spirit, because finally they're going to see with their own eyes all around them in the most vivid, shocking, incredible events that could ever be imagined what they have been hearing about with their ears for years. They will repent at that time because they will see, they will know the reality of what is occurring. And it's going to take the actuality of it. It's going to take the reality of it. It's going to take the actual beginning of a World War III. And then having the effects of that war, the drought, the famine, the disease and pestilence, the absolute mind-boggling fright and the fear of it, strike right at home, right where these people live, before they will ever get on their knees and call out to God in repentance and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, give me of your Holy Spirit, make me your own child. But this says in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation that there would be 12,000 from every single one of the tribes of Israel, save Dan, with a double portion given to Joseph, meaning Ephraim and Manasseh. And later on, he sees in vision a great, vast, countless multitude called an innumerable multitude. And John is saying to one of these elders that he sees in vision, well, who are these? Where do they come from? And he said, these are those that came out of the great tribulation. So they've survived it. They are humanly intact. They're not wounded or injured, but boy, what they have seen with their eyes. They have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes. That means they've repented. That means they've been forgiven. That means a spiritual symbolism for repentance, for baptism, and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. It means their sins have been forgiven. It means their past lives have been erased from the slate, and they've turned over the proverbial new leaf. They're absolutely fresh and clean. Their lives and minds and hearts are as clean now in God's sight as a driven field of pure snow, and there is not a single black mark against them anymore. It says they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. That's merely a picture, then, of these persons who are allowed a share of responsibility in the government of God, as it says in Revelation 2 and verse 26, Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, said Jesus. And to him that overcometh will I give power over the nations. He talks about government in that parable of a young nobleman that went away into a far country to get for himself a kingdom and return. And he apportioned positions of responsibility to his servants. When they said, well, here's the pound, Lord, it's gained 10. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have thou authority over 10 cities? How would you like to have authority over 10 cities? I'd like to have authority over just one for a little while. I'd like to clean up that wretched, filthy box they call Los Angeles, for example. It'd be fun to have the very power of God. You wouldn't be able to do it with the power of a mayor. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't touch it with the combined power of all the city managers and mayors and governors and presidents and prime ministers on the face of this earth. Every one of the assembled leaders of government on the whole face of the earth could assemble in the convention center in Los Angeles, and somebody could say, okay, folks, clean up this city, and they would fail. They would be absolutely unable to do it. But if you had the very power of God to force people to do what they must do to clean up the botch that is a city like Los Angeles, you could get the job done.